Hakeem Ruiz is the vice president of an organization called The Block Gives Back. The Block Gives Back is a nonprofit organization that aims to promote community involvement and engagement by targeting issues within the community and devising a plan to recruit local volunteers, businesses, organizations, and community leaders to help in working towards a solution. Created by a group of friends from high school, this organization is showing up for communities all over the city of Philadelphia in a big way to give back and promote community involvement and support. Their mission has caught the attention of the Rachel Ray Show and other major media outlets, as well as a guest appearance and support from comedian Kevin Hart, who came to town to collaborate with The Block Gives Back and support the block he grew up on here in Philly. Hakeem is here to share with us the incredible work this organization is doing and all the ways that you can get involved and support this amazing mission. Let's take a listen. All right. So I have with us here today Hakeem from The Block Gives Back. How are you, Hakeem?
I'm great. Happy Friday's Eve to you.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here. So we're here to talk about The Block Gives Back, which is a nonprofit organization here in Philadelphia. You say that in a city where we are defined by the blocks, you're giving back one block at a time. Can you tell us more about how this organization came to be and how you're working to give back in the Philadelphia community?
So myself and a couple of friends back in high school, we went to Abraham Lincoln High School. I graduated 2011. My partner, Tommy Roush, graduated 2012. But we were always, just ahead of the pack in different ways. We were complaining about every little issue we could find. But we didn't really look at it as complaining. We looked at it as like, hey, we're challenging it. We want to change the way things are going. And we weren't just, we've seen a lot of people at the time going to Facebook and just venting frustrations to everything. And we would come back to school the next day, like, hey, why is everyone complaining about that? Like, let's do something about this. So, after a period of time, we just found ways to get involved, whether that be speaking to certain people in the school to get things to go away that we seem better fit, or having our voices heard, sticking up for what we believed in. And then as we became adults, we started to do little gatherings such as putting our money together to go downtown to, get some food to the less fortunate, clothing and whatnot. And this was really more of the extended team. The Block Is Back really was a friend group that we called The Block. We would meet up at this one particular spot in the school and call it The Block. I'll meet you over at The Block. So that friend group, assembled to do these things for less fortunate. We started to gain better connections and learn more about them. And from that, we decided, hey, we can really make this something that we try to do more often and in different ways to impact. So we started a GoFundMe. That GoFundMe raised requested 200. This was 6 or 7 years ago. I lose track at this point, but it ended up raising $1,200, blew our minds. And we're like, hey, we can really do this. So that's when I got more involved. Tommy, who's president, invited me to be pretty much just like a host, a personality. And that just several years later came into me falling in love with this line of work, this, type of community give back. And now we're The Block Gives Back, where we're somewhat becoming household names in the city. And that's so cool, considering it was just something that we were playing around with in high school that we decided, hey, we wanted to be taken serious.
I love that. That's just like such a great story. And it's incredible work that you guys are doing. What does a typical The Block Gives Back block party look like, from setup to cleanup, and who's involved? How do you carry out your mission?
So our block parties, I would say, like, I'm an outside kid. I loved, even though I was somewhat, video games for a little while, I loved being outside playing basketball, wheeling bikes, even though I wasn't good at either of those things. But like, I always enjoyed the opportunity to get out there and connect with my neighbors or the kids on the block. So we're trying to just bring back that nostalgic feel every time we go out there. We're getting out to your block at about 9 o'clock. We're, connecting with the partners on the block that, whether it be a block captain, the neighbors that bring us out and allow us to use their electricity, things like that. We're making sure we're connected with the neighbors of that block, not just surprising them with something that they don't need. So we're going door to door, preparing for this, letting them know, hey, move the cars off the block. This is going to happen. We're looking for people to participate. And we're getting the youth out early. We're trying to get them outside of the house so they can be the actual power behind the cleanup. We're going to assist them. We're going to provide all the tools. So when they're coming outside, we already have breakfast set up. There's a nice spread from one of the local bakeries that we work with, or someone contributed donations from the Philly Pretzel Factory, something like that. Then we're going to have T-shirts that, if you're coming out early, that shirt is for you. It's for free. We want you to, have a reward for your volunteering. Go get some gloves. Go get a trash picker, a broom, rake. We have all the supplies you need, and we're going to start cleaning up this block. So we do that for a couple of hours. And then after we get everything clean, we give you some more rewards. We bring out the basketball court. We bring out the cotton candy machine, the popcorn machine, all the fun stuff. We will order pizza or grill hot dogs and burgers. And we're out there, you know, playing, we got a DJ likely playing all the line dance songs, the cha-cha slide. People know I love me some cha-cha slides. So I need that at every block party. You know, and we're just having a really good time for several hours. Free. There's no expenses that need to be met. There's no real rules or regulations. Just, hey, respect, appreciation, and taking care of your neighbor. We're trying to just spread that vibe to where you'll see me out there with the megaphone going up and down the block, screaming at people. Hey, if you're not moving, you're not working. Or better yet, don't do it for the pictures. I want to see you working right now. So it's really just a free environment. And one of my personal favorite parts about it is that, you know, this is a dangerous city, and we can go to one of the more dangerous blocks in the city, and they'll appreciate and welcome us like we're their own. And, you know, I can go and talk to people like I know in my whole life, and older women on the block are, well, you know, saying, hey, come in for dinner, or, you know, they want to give us hugs and thank us so much. And our block parties really are the block is back becoming a part of the family. That's the way I like to see it. Every time that we leave, we are now a part of their family somehow, way, shape, or form.
That is such an incredible energy that you're bringing to every block that you're showing up at. It's awesome what you guys are doing. So the Block Gives Back initiative also provides a music studio for kids to create, a shop class, and internship workshops to get people ready to enter the workforce. Can you tell us more about all that?
Yes, I'm sure my team would love to hear this part, because this is where everyone is able to, you know, master their craft. Everyone in our group, you know, is a misfit from some way, from some walk of life. There's some way that they find themselves being an outcast. So we're now finding that, hey, we do have certain skills. We do have abilities that we can bring to the table that we can share with other people in the community. So we have a lot of union carpenters in our group. There's about 5 to 6 guys that work on the day-to-day with us, all have full-time jobs, and they're still finding a way to give back, not only just on Saturdays with events, but we have Sean Rope, who is doing his Shop with Sean class every week. He has Tuesdays where he's getting youth in there from ages 14 to 24, giving them free training, we're providing all the tools to show them how to build community libraries. That's one of the projects we have going on. He's also been renovating homes with them. He's been going as far as to help another community group named We Love Philly to assist them with a project that they have going on to create a Airbnb out of a storage unit. So, you know, we're really not only just connecting different groups together with that one, but we're giving you the opportunity to learn a skill that's really going to pay off in the long run, whether that be for your career, because you can always say, hey, I'm not, college isn't for me. I'm a 15-year-old. I feel like I can work with my hands. I want to get involved in that. And, you know, once that happens, Sean can show you the tricks of the trade, and he can potentially introduce you to people who are going to be in position to hire you, or even just have household skills. You know, some people don't know how to fix their sink, and that could be something that you could just pick up by learning how to use the household tools. Then we have the music studio, which is a passion project that we literally built with our own hands. Kevin Morales, he's an artist. I am Kairos, incredible music creator. I don't even want to limit him to say he's a rapper, a great artist. He was influenced enough to start this program and build it up. And now we have Beyond the Bars involved with it. It's a music program that works and creates music labs all over the city. The Ride Free organization is also involved. They host it in their building and allow us to send students there every Monday from the hours of 5. Actually, I moved it up a little bit, 4:30 to 6:30. And it's a free space to record music. You can create production. You can learn production, learn instruments, anything that you want music related. You can go to these two guys there. We have Lou and Matt, who you can ask them, hey, I want to learn this. And they'll say, all right, we'll find a way to get that to work for you. And it's a bunch of, you know, maybe 10 to 15 kids sometimes in there that are making their own music. They're recording themselves. They're figuring out how they want the tracks to go. And they are just, you just see the smiles on their faces. These are kids that, you know, have a lot of struggles, that go through a lot of things. You hear it in their music. But the fact that we can provide this free space for them to feel so comfortable that they can walk in and kind of treat it like it's their own. And everyone has a respect factor. No one's in there talking over each other. No one's being disrespectful. There's no trash left. People treat it like it's, you know, really a home base. And that type of program is something that we're looking to get more involved in moving forward. So those are just skills that we have in-house. We want to continue to be able to say, hey, what are you good at? And that could be anyone from our community, anyone that volunteers with us. You're good at something, we could find a space to provide for you to do that and provide it for free for the youth, so we can give them that opportunity they may not have considered before.
Unbelievable. That's just amazing that you're giving those kids so many incredible opportunities to get their hands on things that they might be passionate about and they might find that they're really good at. I think it's just really cool that you guys are providing that for them. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit, you changed your monthly Feed the Block event to a weekly basis. And in 2020, you fed over 5,600 people. How exactly did you pivot from monthly to weekly events? And how did you drum up the support to accomplish feeding that many people so quickly?
All right. So I like that you said the word exactly. How exactly did it go? This guy right here was completely against it. So it was, I want to say March 20th or March 13th, 2020. And we're in a meeting, Tom Rouse, president, the guy I'm constantly going against on a devil's advocate approach. He says, hey, I think we should do this week to week. This COVID thing looks to be kicking up. I'm over there. No way. We don't need to do that. That's a lot of work. And then we're like, hey, this is getting serious. We're going to need to wake up to this. And sure enough, we tried it once. We started to love it. We made the food at his house. We didn't even have a kitchen set up in our space yet. So, once that had a great response, we're like, all right, you know, maybe we should do this every week. And maybe, you know, this COVID thing is getting more serious. We need to take it serious. Started masking up, taking care of everything, you know, as far as limiting volunteers, just making sure we're providing the safest, cleanest type of materials we can provide, everything pre-wrapped and taken care of in a very responsible way. So we started to, you know, do it every Saturday from that point, which was something we were doing every month and going downtown and taking care of the less fortunate. So we started doing it right out of our office. And the community started to really respond. The first week, I want to say we did maybe 60 platters. The next week, we did like 90. And then we did like 130. It just kept going up and up. And so one week, we had pancakes and protein shakes, which is a local nonprofit that helps promote restaurants and businesses of such. So they connected and brought us Angelo's Pizza, which is like the best cheesesteak and pizza in the city. They brought tons of cheesesteaks and pizzas to our office. And we gave that out as well as the pasta that we served. So it was a huge day. We gave out, I think, 243 platters. And then shortly into that, we started the summer, you know, restrictions started to be a little loosened. So we were able to bring volunteers in, and volunteers were coming every Saturday. We weren't having to ask, we weren't having to promote it. They're showing up at 1 o'clock right on the dot. They know what to do. They're getting in there. And it became a real family atmosphere to say, like, hey, every Saturday for a whole year, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to enjoy it. Afterwards, you know, we would have a get together, hang out with the volunteers, make sure we're getting to know them. We're making them feel welcome and comfortable. Like, our office is your home. You can come here and grow with us whenever you like. And, you know, obviously the response was loved by the community. They needed it. They needed this resource because nobody was feeding on weekends. I'm not gonna say nobody. There wasn't many opportunities to get food on weekends. Whereas, you know, if you have a full-time job and a kid in school, there's not a lot of opportunities at 12 p.m. to go to a rec center and get a box of food. So we decided not only will we carry the boxes of food, we go pick that up ourselves. We would also make the food ourselves. We built a kitchen in our office just using things that were donated. Hey, this person has a stove. This person has cabinets. This person has a microwave. We just started bringing it all in, putting it together. Thankfully, we have union carpenters. And, you know, it was a struggle at first. And then we were thankfully blessed by this TV show that came in, covered our story and bought us all new appliances, hooked up our kitchen, huge sink so we could wash the dishes. And, you know, it made feeding every week so much easier. And now we're actually trying to make that a consistent thing. Whenever we don't have a major event that's taking us away from the office, we're going to have that set up to where we can have the community getting fed at least 100 platters, seasonal meals, whether it be usually spaghetti, but we might do tacos every now and then. Just trying to mix it up and give them something. No offense to it, but just more than a cheese sandwich. You know, we want to make sure we're giving them something that shows we really respect and appreciate you.
I'm so happy that the TV show came in and did that for you, but it's also so crazy to hear how resourceful you guys were up to that point. Like, you just pulled all your sources, did what you needed to do to come together for this community and make it happen, which is awesome. So you recently had comedian and superstar Kevin Hart come to town to give back to the block he grew up on here in Philly. Can you tell us more about that and how that collaboration came to be?
Oh, Kev, my boy. Yeah, him, Kevin.
You know, oh, that guy.
seriously, though, yeah, you're just talking about Kevin. Oh, no, he's great. Like, I was blown away by that opportunity. It was something that was really unique because his production team reached out to me once on a Friday. This is like, we had a Halloween event and we had a Feed the Block the very next day. So it was a busy, stacked weekend for us. And I didn't get a chance to even respond to him for, I don't know, a couple of days. And he was very persistent, hit my Instagram, the Block's Instagram, a couple, I think an email. And when I finally got a chance to get back to him, he's like, yeah, so we got Kevin Hart. He wants to do his thing. I'm like, no way, this guy's lying. And a couple of days later, they were very serious. They committed all these resources and told us, hey, Kevin's going to come in on this party. He's going to eat this and that. And when he came, I wasn't one of the ones that was there to meet him. We had Amber, Tommy, and Felix, who were all on our board. They were there to meet him and be a part of the, but I did get to see him while he was on his way out because we were preparing tacos and whatnot to bring down to his block. Everything that they said was that he was very kind, welcoming, and like just not how you would expect a celebrity to be, especially one of his status. He was asking them real questions, and he also committed a huge donation to us. I can't speak on it just yet because it hasn't come through all the way, but he, without us asking, without us soliciting for it, he presented that opportunity to us. And then when we actually arrived with all the tacos and everything, he was on his way out, you know, contractually. So it's not like he was leaving us. This is when he was supposed to leave. But he did spend a couple of minutes actually talking to all of us. There was a group of people that were trying to get his attention. And, you know, respectfully, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I got to keep moving. But then my partner Tommy says to him, he's like, hey, this is the rest of the group right here. And he stops, he pivots and shakes all of our hands. And he's looking us in the eye. Oh, thank you guys. He's thanking all of us. Very humble. He's shorter than I thought, which is crazy. I know that I probably shouldn't say that, but I was like, man, I'm like 5'6". He makes me feel great. So when, you know, he really had an opportunity to speak with everyone. And he took pictures. He took a selfie of all of us. And honestly, like personally, I was a little taken back by the fact that he like stood in front of me and was ready to have a conversation. I don't know what to say. So I just went and spoke to the producers. I'm like, someone else can take this conversation. I'm a little nervous with this. But
that's so cool.
He was everything I could have imagined. He even like, when I look back at the video, when he came over to us, one person asked, I don't know what the context was, but I found it hilarious. Someone says, hey, Kevin, can you just hear me out? And he's like, no, I can't. And I'm like, wow, this dude is always, he's always funny without even trying.
I actually watched that video because it's on your Instagram. And I was taken back too by the fact that, like you said, he pivoted and looked at you guys. And he was like, you could tell that he was genuinely grateful that you were allowing him to have that opportunity there. You know, that what you were doing was giving him the opportunity to come back to his own block that he grew up on and to do something special for them. So that's so cool. It's just like such a great story. Thank you for sharing that with us. So when speaking about the power to do good and create positive momentum within a community, you say that it's within all of us and we can make it happen. We discuss the aspect of community on this podcast a lot. And I'm wondering, can you speak more to the importance of community support and the power we all have within us to show up and support those around us?
You know, I love hearing that repeated because I'm pretty sure I said that. And like, it's something that I really mean. It's so simple. And I remind people all the time that like, there's really nothing to it but to do it. And that really just goes in anything. You can walk down the street and see trash anywhere. You can walk down the street and see problems and poverty anywhere in this city. And I think, you know, we need to not just find ways to complain about it, but we can draw attention to it. And we can also promote certain things. There's just a certain mindset that we can have when it comes to being more mindful of just how things impact people. So I haven't littered in like 6 years. I'm very mindful of it now. I have a friend, I lived in Japan for a little while, and there's like no litter anywhere out there. And we kept emphasizing how we would, you know, hold on to a water bottle for like 4 blocks because we didn't see a trash can in sight. And it's just little things like that that you can do. You know, it's all within us. And it starts here. If it doesn't, you know, I can't expect you to do something that I wouldn't do myself. I'm a case manager, a new social work working with at-risk youth. And I tell them for certain community service hours that they need to get, I say, hey, I'm going to be there. Like, I'm not getting paid to be there. I'm putting myself in position to do the same work that you are because it's all within us. Like, I'm going to be there on a power and numbers type of setting to make sure you know that I want to make this something comfortable for you. I want to open this door for you to show you that helping your community is really something that isn't taboo or far-fetched. And it doesn't always have to be the biggest, grandest scheme of things. Like sometimes I just show up to some of our partners' events, Power Circle or We Love Philly, and I tell them, hey, I'm sorry I couldn't get the group to come. I didn't tell them I didn't bring anything, but I want to be here. I want to support. I'm going to spread that post. I'm going to like that picture. and so on. You know, just there's so many things that we could do. Wearing local brands. It was just a Small Business Saturday. It was Giving Tuesday. And, you know, all my money went to people that I know. And I feel very good about that because it's within us. It's the options that we choose to do. It's the decisions we make, the mechanic shop we go to. There's nothing wrong with Pep Blues, but John's auto mechanic right there on the corner probably could benefit from your money a little more, because they may have a cousin that coaches soccer on the weekends and they need some new uniforms, and John's auto mechanic shop is going to buy them. So it's a trickle down effect that just really starts. And there's so much power in our communities that we're just overlooking. I had a Zoom call yesterday with some people in the neighborhood I grew up in, Frankfurt, and actually the brand I'm wearing here, Hustle Sport. We did a project over the summer putting the logos on the court and really renovating the entire park the way that we can. And now they're doing a whole project to do a bigger citywide renovation for $500,000. And I was just honored to know that we were even invited to that meeting and they allowed us to speak on it. So like, while, you know, things aren't always going to go the way we expect them to or want them to, we got to at least try. And it's within us to try. It's, you know, not going to break our backs to at least make that effort.
You are setting a powerful example. And I love everything that you just said about community in general, because that's why I like to talk about it so much on this podcast, is because there is so much that gets overlooked in your local community, you know. And sometimes when people think about giving or giving back, they think about, you know, what's the grandest thing I could do, or what's, you know, what's the biggest organization I could support, when really the biggest impact you're going to make is by making local change and making a local impact. And you guys are the epitome of that. You know, you're showing everybody how that's done, and it's super inspiring. So let's talk about the squad, the dream team, the degenerate do-gooders, as you call yourselves. Mm-hmm. You did tell us a little bit in the beginning about how you guys all went to high school together, but can you tell us more about, I guess, kind of how your friendship has evolved over the years and what role everybody plays? How do you divide and conquer to accomplish your mission?
So the Block Stars are made up of, currently at least, we have Anthony Maricone, my great friend who I share a tattoo with, not literally, but we've met back in 2007, and he's one of the newer additions to the Block. So that's why I'd say him first, but I'm proud to have him on the team because he didn't go to high school with us, and he found his drive enough to say, hey, even though I have a full-time career, I have a full-time job and a business, I still want to commit my only 2 days off to come to meetings and to come to events. So I have to honor him. Then we have Tommy Rauch, the president, the founder, the one who created all this good momentum we have. And he, you know, is constantly involved, full-time union carpenter, as well as a father of three. And, you know, just does so much for the community, puts things on his back. And you got to honor that. Then we also have Kevin Morales, who came in, I want to say, sometime early in year one. And I tell him all the time, like, didn't trust you, didn't believe you, didn't think anything you said was true. But, you know, he proved himself. He literally climbed a tree to get trash out of a tree. And I'm like, all right, this guy's good. He's one of us. Ever since then, he's been here on the day to day, growing every day in this. There's been times where I personally couldn't invest myself as much as I wanted to. And he really stepped up and created events and held things down and learned how to edit on the website. And that's what really makes it a dream team. We could just, you know, pursue our skills and make it better. And he was able to run the studio program for us for a while. That's amazing. We have Sean, who runs Shop with Sean, who picks up deliveries for us to have groceries on Saturdays at like 8 a.m. after working 5 days a week. And he lives 45 minutes away. He actually... we met him at a party one time, and he never left after that. We literally invited him, hey, come volunteer with us on Saturday. He came and never stopped coming after that. He literally is from Eugene, Oregon, and he was just looking for something to be a part of. And he's, you know, like brotherhood with us now and with all these guys. And we have obviously Felix Alvarez, who is a founder who's been there since day one. And we have Amber Allen, who works for us. She's in our office right now, 9 to 5, pushing this further. She's creating all of our programs. She's creating all the opportunities and just really giving us a different type of outlook and our whole opportunities, because she's so great at what she does by getting grants and just able to communicate and invite people that she went to college with to join us. And now our group is just growing so much. Those are the core players, the core members, but we've also had so many people in the past that helped us get to where we are right now. And the friendships, which I've been really calling this thing a family lately. I want everyone to embrace it as we are family. And it feels like that. You know, I see certain people that come around, they bring their kids, they bring their loved ones, and people with all different backgrounds. You know, I can go on and on just about how this team is constantly growing and we're looking to keep on evolving it.
It's awesome. Your energy is contagious. So I can see how, I mean, I'm just listening to you talk and I'm like, I want to be involved. I can just see how you've grown this family so organically because you guys are acting from such a heart-driven, passion-driven, authentic space that you're going to attract all the right people to make it happen. And it seems like you're doing exactly that. So tell us a little bit real quick before we wrap up. Tell us about your storefront that you have. And also just tell us about how people can get involved, how they can support you, where they can donate, and how they can follow along with your mission.
So the most important thing I would say right here, real big, theblockisback.com.org. Technically it's .org, but you can put in .com and that'll work as well. Everything will be on our Instagram. We update constantly. The Facebook is always active. The Block is Back. No tricky stuff. If you want to donate, all the donation links are accessible on our website. We have a Cash App. The Block is Back straight through Venmo. The Block Dash gives back, but all donations can go through our website as well. We have merchandise as a way to support us. Blockware, as we call it, tons of new pieces always coming out, hats, shirts, long sleeves, hoodies and whatnot. And then we have our storefront, which is where a lot of our volunteering happens at. We have our youth internship program coming out of there. It's open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. We have opportunities to drop off donations. Come in there and connect. You can see our wall of donors where everyone who gave money for Giving Tuesday's name is prominently stamped on the wall like it's a Rite Aid. And it's at 6831 Torresdale Avenue in the Northeast Philly Tacony section. That's where you'll see Blocky McBlockerson real big on the wall, made in our image. You'll see the gap tooth smile. I wonder who that's for. So yes, we are always looking to connect, grow this thing and involve ourselves in other communities as well. If you're from West Philly and you think a park needs some assistance or you want to have a block party on your block, you can call us. I believe our number is 267-712-7292. Maybe don't quote me on that, but you can look it up on Google. I'm pretty sure that's our Google voice line. So
that's awesome.
And we've always DM, you can always email. I respond to just about everything. If it's not me, it's Amber, it's Tommy, the whole team is involved and we're always looking for a way to just engage with people and grow this thing.
Amazing. You guys are doing incredible work and I can't thank you enough for taking the time to share your mission and your purpose and, you know, your inspiration with us because you are the epitome, like I said, of what it is to show up for your community and what it is to just show up and do exactly what you said you were going to do as well. So thank you for taking the time and thank you for being here.
Oh, I appreciate you having me. The whole Block is Back appreciates it. I'm sure the city of Philadelphia appreciates it. And one last gem I would like to leave is that community is broken down into two words, common unity. So if we can come to the same page and get together, we will create a beautiful community. The Block is Back is looking to do that, starting in Philly, one block at a time. I like to travel, so I'm coming through the whole United States, and we're going to take over the world eventually with some Block love.
Yes, that's awesome. Thank you for listening to this episode of Be the Good Podcast. Please like, comment, and share, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at Be the Good Podcast. And remember, we can all find our own way to be the good.